So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, chapter number 6, texts 40 and 41.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Vishuddham
Kevalam
Jnanam
Pratyak
Samyak
Avastitam
Satyam
Purnam
Anadi
Antam
Nirgunam
Nityam
Anvayam
Tirshe
Vedanti
Munaya
Prashanta
Atma
Indriya
Ashaya
Yada
Chut
Eva
Osut
Tarkai
Tiradhyaita
Vipulutam
Vishuddham Kevalam Jnanam
Pratyak Samyangavastitam
Satyam Purnam Madhyantam
Nirgunam
Nityam Anvayam
Tirshe
Vedanti
Munaya
Prashantat Mendriyashaya
Yadatat
Eva Sattarkai
Tirodhi
Yetta
Vitlatam
Vishuddham
without any material sin.
Kevalam
pure and perfect.
Jnanam
knowledge.
Pratyak
all pervading.
Samyak
in fullness.
Avastitam
situated.
Satyam
truth.
Purnam
absolute.
Anadi
without any beginning.
Antam
and so also without any end.
Nirgunam
devoid of material modes.
Nityam
eternal.
Anvayam
without any rival.
Nishe,
O Narada,
O great sage.
Vedanti,
they can only understand.
Munaya,
the great thinkers.
Shanta,
pacified.
Atma,
self.
Indriya,
senses.
Ashaya,
sheltered.
Yada,
while.
Tat,
that.
Eva,
certainly.
Asat,
untenable. Tarakai,
arguments.
Tiradhyeta, disappears. Lutam, distorted. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Chindandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The personality of God is pure, being free from all contaminations of material tensions. He is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all-pervading, without beginning or end, and without rival. O Narada, O great sage, the great thinkers can know him when completely freed from all material hankerings, and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by untenable arguments, all is disturbed, and the Lord disappears from our sight. Purport. Here is an estimation of the Lord apart from his transcendental activities in the temporary material creation. Mayavada philosophy tries to designate the Lord as contaminated by material body when he accepts forms of incarnation. This sort of interpolation is completely denied herein by the explanation that the Lord's position is pure and unalloyed in all circumstances. According to Mayavada philosophy, the spirit soul, when covered by nescience, is designated as jiva. But when freed from such ignorance and nescience, he merges in the absolute existence rather than the impersonal existence of the absolute truth. But here it is said that the Lord is eternally the symbol of full and perfect knowledge. This is his specialty, perpetual freedom from all material contamination. This distinguishes the Lord from the individual common living entities who have the aptitude for being subordinated by nescience and thus becoming material designated. In the days it is said that the Lord is Jnanam Anandam, full of bliss and knowledge. Conditioned souls are never to be compared to him, because such individual souls have a tendency to become contaminated. Although, after liberation, a living entity can become one with the same quality of existence as the Lord, his very tendency to become contaminated, which the Lord never has, makes the living entity different from the Lord. So here's a clear distinction between Bhagavan and Jiva. Krishna never has a tendency to become contaminated. With the Jiva, even his liberated condition, that tendency to be contaminated is always there. So what does that mean for us neophytes in the pathway of bhakti? What does that mean practically for us? Even though in one sense we become liberated by the grace of Guru and Krishna, the tendency for becoming contaminated is always there, lingering with us, loitering. We have to recognize that tendency is there, and we have to be very, 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 very careful not to allow the tendency to become contaminated to pull us away from Krishna consciousness. Continuing the purport. In the Vedas it is said, Shudam, Papa, Adam. The individual Atma becomes polluted by sin, but the Lord is never contaminated by sin. The Lord is compared to the powerful sun. The sun is never contaminated by anything infectious because it is so powerful. On the contrary, infected things are sterilized by the rays of the sun. Similarly, the Lord is never contaminated by sins. On the contrary, sinful living entities become sterilized by contact with the Lord. I just received an email today from one of my students in Germany. And she was asking me that, what happens to your sins? What happens? You become free from sin by practicing Krishna consciousness. Where do the sins go? What happens to them? She wanted to know what happens to them. Now, the actual understanding is when we take initiation, spiritual master absorbed our sin. That's why we should not sin again after initiation. Because initiation, the guru has actually absorbed our sins into himself. And then, actually his guru absorbs the sins from him and they go on to his guru and go up this whole wonderful list you have here on the wall. The sins just go chip, 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 and they finally go up to Krishna, and Krishna totally absorbs them. The sun can sterilize an unlimited number of urinals and take away all the contamination without being touched by the contamination. So this is the point being made here, that Krishna can absorb all that contamination without being contaminated. Continuing the purport. This means that the Lord is also all-pervading like the sun, and as such, the word pratyak is used in this verse. Nothing is excluded from the existence of the Lord's potential expansions. The Lord is within everything, and He is all-covering also, without being disturbed by the activities of the individual souls. He is therefore infinite, and the living entities are infinitesimal. In the Vedas it is said that only the Lord alone exists, and all other existences depend on Him only. He is the generating reservoir for everyone's existential capacity. He is the supreme truth of all other categorical truths. He is the source of everyone's opulence, and therefore no one can equal Him in opulence. Being full of all opulences, namely wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, certainly He is the Supreme Person. Because He is a person, He has many personal qualities, although He is transcendental to the material modes. We have already discussed the statement, itam bhat bhuta guno hari, Bhagavatam 1.7.10. His transcendental qualities are so attractive that even the liberated souls, Atmaranas, are also attracted by them. Although possessed of all personal qualities, He is nevertheless omnipotent. Therefore, personally He has nothing to do, for everything is being carried out by His omnipotent energy. This is confirmed in the Vedic mantras, Padashya Shaktir Vidyaiva Shriyate Svabhavika Jnana Bala Kriyacha. This suggests His specific spiritual form, which can never be experienced by the material senses. He can be seen only when the senses are purified by devotional service. Yam a vaisha vrinute tena labhya. As such, there are basic differences between the Lord and living entities in so many respects. No one can be compared to the Lord, as the Vedas declare, ekam eva dvitiyam brahma dvaita dvaibhayam bhavati. The Lord has no competitor, and He has nothing to fear from any other being, nor can anyone be equal to Him. Although He is the root of all other beings, there are basic differences between Him and other beings. Otherwise, there would have been no necessity for the statement in the previous verse that no one can know him 100% as he is. Nayam Vedanti Tat Vena. That no one can fully understand him is explained also in this verse, but the qualification for understanding to some degree is mentioned here. Only the Prashantas or the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can know him to a greater extent. The reason is that the devotees have no demands in their lives but to be obedient servants of the Lord, while all others, namely the empiric philosophers, the mystics, and the fruitive workers, all basically have some demand. And as such, they cannot be pacified. The fruitive worker wants reward for his work. The mystic wants some perfection of life. And the empiric philosopher wants to merge into the existence of the Lord. Somehow or other, as long as there is a demand for sense satisfaction, there is no chance for pacification. On the contrary, by unnecessary, dry, speculative arguments, the whole matter becomes distorted. And thus the Lord moves still further away from our understanding. The dry speculators, however, because of their following the principles of austerity and penance, can have knowledge of the impersonal feature of the Lord to some extent. But there is no chance of their understanding his ultimate form as Govinda, because only the Amalatmanas, or the completely sinless person, can accept pure devotional service to the Lord. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Tvanta Gutam Bhavam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Devandamon Yamukta Vajante Man Vridadam Ama Jnanatimadandasha Gunanjana Shalagaya Shakshur Vimilitam Yena Tasmai Shivarena. Prabhupada is driving the point home very, very strongly. From this angle, from that angle, from this angle, and from that angle, that there is a clear distinction between the individual jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why does Prabhupada have to do that? Because this world is polluted with Mayavadi philosophy. It is commonly understood in India, and that Mayavadi philosophy has infiltrated the West very strongly. This is why we say, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pushchacha Desha Tamine. Delivering these Western countries, which are so full of impersonalism and Buddhism. I was speaking with a very pious Indian gentleman the other day, his name is Goku. And he was very submissively and respectfully hearing. But as soon as I began to explain the philosophy of the Vedas, I could see he had been steeped in Mayavadi understanding of the Absolute Truth. He didn't have anything against Krishna. He didn't want to kill Krishna. He was an innocent person, an innocent, pious Indian gentleman. But I could see this was a whole new concept to him, that there was a difference. There was oneness and difference simultaneously. It was amazing for him to hear this philosophy. You see, even pious Indian people who will come and bow down in feeling for the deity, you see, they are steeped in Mayavadi philosophy. But ultimately, it's all one. I'm God, you're God, everything is God. So, this is a very, very, very important distinction to understand. Because as long as we are contaminated by this Mayavada misunderstanding and thinking that actually I am God, and it is not possible to get out of this quagmire of material existence, we will remain here suffering birth after birth after birth after birth. As long as there is even the slightest tinge of Mayavada contamination within our hearts. So now do you understand why it's so important that we carefully imbibe every word of this purport? That's why it's so important. Because that tendency to think that I am God, you see, that is there in all of us. You may think, well, that's the Mayavada, you know, I'm a Vaishnava. But wait a minute, why did you take birth in this material world? Because you thought that you were God. You wanted to think that you were God. That's why you took birth with it. You understand? So we have to understand that Mayavada conception, thinking that I'm the superstar of all that exists and everyone else is my supporting actor. You see? That contamination is there. We have that contamination. We don't like to admit it. Well, we might as well. Mouth just be honest and admit we have a tendency to think that I'm the center of the universe. I have the contamination, you have that contamination. So this is why we have to hear Prabhupada very carefully. We have to wake up. If you're falling asleep, stand up. You need to hear this. You need to take it deep into your heart. Very deeply into your heart. We have to understand the clear distinction between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have the qualitative oneness, that's all right. Krishna's eternal, I'm eternal. Krishna's full of bliss, I'm full of bliss. Krishna is full of knowledge, I'm full of knowledge. That's all right. But we are very tiny particles of that Supreme Absolute Truth. That we have, distinction we have to understand. We are dependent upon Him for our existence. He does not depend on us for his existence. Sometimes people say, well, you know, where did Krishna come from? Many times people would ask me that question. Where did Krishna come from? Everything came from Krishna. All right, where did Krishna come from? Well, if Krishna came from anywhere, then we have a... If you want to think that Krishna came from somewhere, all right, we can answer your question. Krishna comes from Krishna. He is self-manifested. And then they ask, well, why is he manifesting himself? Why, you know, why bother? Krishna is manifesting himself for his own enjoyment. He has no business except to enjoy. So, Krishna is manifesting himself eternally simply for the bliss of existing, and to increase the bliss of his existence, he is manifesting unlimited numbers of living entities from himself of two categories, actually three, primarily two categories, Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, and there's one extra one, Shiva Tattva. He is manifesting these three categories of living entities, living beings, of his own nature as the supreme and of his subordinate nature as Jiva. So he can enjoy so many unlimited varieties of loving relationships. So we cannot think that we are the emanator of all that exists. That's a fact, and why do we have to depend on Krishna for our existence? Materially and spiritually. We depend on Krishna, that is it. Nityo nityanam, nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bhavanam yogadati kaman. There is one singular eternal amongst the plural eternals. There is one singular conscious being amongst the plural conscious beings, and the difference is that one, eko bhavanam, the many, eko bhavanam yo vidadati kaman. He supplies the necessities of all the plural number. So if you want to think you're God, all right, you need to feed everyone on this planet right now. You can't even maintain your own family. You're having a hard time maintaining your own family. You think you're God and maintaining everyone. Let's see, you water all the trees in Kansas City right now. You can't even have a hard time watering your own yard, to speak of the whole city of Kansas City. and you're thinking you're God, give us a break. You're not God. You think you're God, and we have another word for you. What is God spelled backwards? Dog. If you think you're God, then we think that you're actually dog. Not God. You're simply dog. If you think you're God, you're dog. That's it. So don't be dog who thinks he is God. Become godly person. Become who you actually are, the eternal servant of Krishna. Then you will be happy, then you'll be satisfied. So we have time for one quick question. Yes. Is the desire to try to enjoy Mayavadi philosophy? In a roundabout way, yes. Because Krishna is the only enjoyer. And as long as I'm trying to enjoy, that means I'm trying to take that position myself. So in a roundabout way, it is Mayavadi. Although a strict Mayavadi, he will renounce gross sense gratification. His enjoyment is subtle. He will become very austere in gross time. He won't even look at a woman's face. Very stupid.
But since I was just thinking that if we are thinking that we want to enjoy, that we are taking the position of the Lord.
Yes, that's right. So in a roundabout way, Mayavadi philosophy is an attempt to take God's position. Be the enjoyer. Yeah, one who tries to enjoy of course strictly Mayavadi, a strict follower of Mayavadi. Strictly speaking, Mayavadi means he's very austere, he's not engrossed in anything. He's very, very austere. So it's not what we call the gross karma Mayavadi. That's not a proper understanding. Everybody, the whole world is full of Mayavadi. No, Mayavadi are those who are very austere. They are karmis and they are Mayavadi. Karmis are the ones who have the gross sense of pleasure to be the enjoyer, and the ones who have the subtle sense of gratification, the form that I am God, at the same time very austere externally, they are the Mayavadi. A true Mayavadi is very hard to find nowadays. In fact, everyone is karmi. But karmi, they like to espouse the Mayavadi philosophy to justify their sense gratification. That's a very common thing. People will speak Mayavadi philosophy for the sake of justifying their sense gratification. Any other question? Yes?
The other day you were talking about lazy intelligence. And
what kind of intelligence?
Lazy intelligence,
yes.
So
now, lazy intelligence means that you're working very hard also. But you increase your work by 100 times by engaging others. Prabhupada was the perfect example of lazy intelligence. But he wasn't lazy. Lazy intelligence means that you work very intelligently. With your brain, you work your brain very hard. And by your brain, you can accomplish amazing, amazing things. Brahman means he's not out there digging the ditch, but he's working with his brain. Brahman means lazy intelligence. Kshatriya is working very hard, fighting, shooting arrows, swinging his sword, ending the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam class, with his. Our time is running out, so I'll finish this question. So, in the Brahmin class means lazy intelligence. They're meant to work with their brains. And they're not meant to be lazy fellows. They're eating and sleeping. They rise early for Mangalarti. They engage in worship, they study very hard, and they preach with great enthusiasm, and they work very hard to push for this movement. But they are called lazy intelligence because they use their brain by engaging other people, by engaging many, many people in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada engaged 10,000 people serving Krishna. So he accomplished some amazing things. So we don't have these perverts very long days, so we have little time to discuss. Tomorrow's pervert, we'll be sure that we have more time tomorrow. And, okay, we thank you all very much. Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.